Welcome to my study. After 30 years, I've concluded that everything you need to know to be successful in every part of your life is found in one book, the Bible. Well, welcome today. We've got some really important information from the Bible, which obviously you know from that the credibility of it is not questionable. Our subject today is how to face the future, specifically when anti-God cultures start to self-destruct. And that is what they're doing. Now, there's been a lot of conjecture about what it's going to look like at the end of the world, so to speak. And one of the things, of course, that's great is our loss of liberty is on the way right now, even as we speak. But all kinds of conjectures have made about the destruction of property and people's lives and worldwide destruction and famines. We hardly know how life is going to go on. What we once thought was so great is not so much fun anymore. And it appears that we are heading toward a crisis, an actual meltdown, a survival impossibility. Some think it's going to be a nuclear issue. And, of course, there's all kinds of conjecture about the nature of the destruction. We see some of it so far, but it shall certainly increase. And, of course, the idea is basically understanding that it appears like the end of life as we know it is approaching its end time. And nations are against nations, and they're after each other, and all kinds of destruction is taking place, and collision course in the economics of the world, and some think we might even perish because of external heavenly bodies striking the earth. So I'm not going to do the conjecture thing, but what I want to do is to discuss with you for these precisely important moments with subject matter that's incomparable, must be talked about, is about the unsustainability of life as we know it near this, well, quote, whether it is in fact indeed the end of the world. Let's see what Jesus had to say about the nearness of the end. So here's what happened. The disciples came unto him privately, which is a good idea, right? And they said, tell us what these things shall be. What's going to happen? Look at the question. What shall be the sign of thy coming? And indeed, what's going to be the sign of the end of the world? And Jesus is about to give them the answer. And that's what I want to spend these moments with you about. What was his answer? Because you know that if Jesus was answering the question, then you're going to get a good answer. And so they asked him, what shall the end signs look like and the sign of thy coming? What shall it look like? So Jesus said, as we saw a moment ago, that he answered them. And he said unto them, and here we go. Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. In other words, he's saying, towards the end, there's going to be widespread, in fact, worldwide deceit, everybody deceiving everybody, nations and nations, people and people, business and business, sellers and buyers, everybody. Watch out. It's all going to be about deceit towards the end. In fact, another scripture that supports this is this one that says, but evil men, and seducers, don't miss that word, shall wax worse and worse. Now, what will they do? They are going to be deceiving and being deceived. That's exactly what is going to go happen. He said, in the end, it's the first sign is going to be widespread deceit. Now, here's a shocking one, because the next one he mentioned is this, that there would be a proliferation of false and deceiving fake Christianity. Look at what he says. For many shall come to you in my name. They're going to have the Jesus on the label. They're going to have Christian on the front door. They're going to have the cross on the steeple. And they'll say, I am Christ. I am representing Jesus Christ. Now watch this. And what will they do? They shall deceive, and look at this now, many. This is a proliferation of deceitfulness in which the Christian church will be so fake, ineffective, and it's one of the big signs. Remember he said, widespread deceit, and then he said, there's going to people come, they're going to use my name, but they're going to deceive many, and so we're going to have the proliferation of deceiving false Christianity. The next one he mentions is this one, that the news of the day is going to be just telling the bad news, newscasting emphasis on all kinds of conflicts. Look at this. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you don't be troubled. This has been going on for a long time. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Now, watch this, because this is kind of an important issue that he is making. That, in fact, the news is going to be bad news. In fact, if it isn't bad news, it's hardly good news because it doesn't get attention. But something could be, some bad conflict could happen in a 3,000 miles away, and why do I have to hear about it on 3,000 miles distance? Every time we turn on the news, what are we getting? Newscasting that is always emphasizing conflict over and over and over again. Now, look at the text once again, that nations shall rise against nation. Here it is. So he's saying that there's going to be interracial conflicts. Now, just so we make sure that we understand this, the word nation is actually the word ethnos, okay? The ethnos will be against ethnos. And what does ethnos mean? It's a word that means a difference of race in a biological sense, according to the Oxford English Dictionary. So Jesus is saying there's going to be interracial conflict as one of the signs. And then goes on from there. There'll be international conflicts of kingdom against kingdom. See the difference? One is nation against nation, ethnos against ethnos. But he says there's also going to be conflicts. Countries, big countries, even little countries are getting into the show, right? And it will be kingdom against kingdom. Now, this word kingdom means a political realm, in contrast to the previous word, ethnos. It's a political realm. And so the Lord is saying there's going to be international conflicts as well. It gets worse. There's going to be a shortage of sustainable nourishment. And he verbalizes it this way, because remember how this whole thing started. Jesus said unto them, in answer to their question, what shall it look like at the end? And he's saying there shall be famines. My goodness. Unsustainable life because there's not enough nourishment. Is that true? In fact, it's making the headlines. Wars and rumors are worse. And look at this one again here. Nutrition and hunger. And so we're going to have this disgusting shortage of sustainable foods around the world. And by the way, let me say this. It's not because God didn't make provision in his design to feed the whole world. But you remember the scripture that says that the love of money is the root of all evil. So now crops are being manipulated for financial interests instead of the provision worldwide for all peoples of sustainable nourishment. There's going to be famines. And then look at this. The next one he says is there's going to be fatal epidemics, plagues or diseases. Now look at the scripture. There shall be famines, and there's going to be pestilences. And what is that? Notice, don't miss this. Because what you're getting now is not conjecture about what might happen towards the end. You are getting divine revelation of what it's going to be like. And they're going to be pestilences. A pestilence is a fatal epidemic, a plague or a disease. In fact, we've got all kinds of them in real life happening and pandemic. It's predicted by Jesus as that's what it's going to be like at the end. There's going to be famines and there's going to be pestilence, plagues, and diseases in international dimensions like never before. And then he says there's another physical phenomena that's going to occur. And he says there's going to be an increase in earthquakes. Look at this now. There shall be famines and pestilence. Now, and earthquakes in different places, all kinds of different places. No longer just a few of the fault lines, but now we see it virtually everywhere. And so we're able to measure the earthquakes that are happening around the world. And they are multitudinous. In fact, they come with amazing destructive powers and ravish entire cities and coastlines and damage that's trillions and trillions of dollars. And why does this happen? In this diagram, for example, you'll notice that all the yellow dots, that's the earthquakes we had just this last week. The blue dots are in the last day. So what have we got happening? We have got a major coming to pass of what Jesus predicted, that there would be an increase in earthquakes. Go back to the text and look at it one more time with me. There shall be famines, shortage of food. There are going to be pestilences, and there's going to be earthquakes in diverse places. And then he predicts that this is going to introduce to the world many kinds of sorrows. And it's just the beginning. Look at what the scripture says. For after listing these eight things that are about to happen, Jesus said it's going to be a time of sorrow. At the beginning of it, because we're looking at the unsustainability that's about to show itself, is showing itself now. And then he said that there would be hatred and persecution of Christian truth tellers. Oh, look at the scripture now. And they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you. You know what's going on? One country of the world this week just killed over 1,000 Christians. They shall kill you. Ye shall be hated of all nations for my sake. And so, an unusual phenomena, maybe it's not unusual, maybe we just haven't noticed it much before, but what we've got happening here is a reaction to the truth. Look at what Plato said. No one is hated, no one is more hated than he that speaks the truth. In fact, listen to George Orwell. The further a society drifts from truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. Now, I'm not sure as to the why of all of this, but it does appear that the major contest towards the end, and it is now, is between good and evil. And evil is not content just to allow itself to be evil. They want to contaminate that which is good and make everybody else evil as well. So evil will not tolerate anybody that tells the truth. Now, I'm just telling you the truth today because that's the name of our website, nothingbutthetruth.org here. And I'm glad you're watching. But I want you to just take what we're talking about from the scriptures. and look at the newspapers or listen to the evening news, and you will discover that there is a hatred for those who tell the truth. They will get canceled. Some of them will be impeached, some of them, because they don't go along with evil. This is part of the unsustainability near the end of the world. Look again at the text. They'll deliver you up to be afflicted. They'll kill you. You'll be hated of all. All ethnos for my name's sake. And then watch this. Because Jesus is saying there's going to be a massive falling away of genuine Christianity. So many shall be offended by what's going on. Instead of taking a stand, which we're going to come to later, they will betray one another. They will hate one another. Can you imagine that? Because the Christian package does not fit into the angry, hostile, evil-oriented ethics of the world, or the lack of ethics of the world, of the culture. And so those who were once considerable thinkers and contemplators of genuine Christianity are going to look at all this and say, hey, I'm out of here. I'm not going there. In fact, why don't you take a look at Scripture again? To be offended because of what's going on. And they'll betray other Christians. And they'll hate one another. Here's the translation. Many will lose their faith and will betray and hate each other. Oh my goodness. Going from bad to worse, it will be dog eat dog, everyone at each other's throat, everyone hating each other. Oh my goodness. How horrible is this? Now look at this. Because what Jesus teaches is reinforced in other parts of Scripture. Here it is. Don't let anybody deceive you by any means. No, don't get fooled. For that day shall not come, now watch this, except there come a falling away first. A massive falling away from genuine Christianity, and we've already seen it's going to be a proliferation of fake Christianity. You see, the number one enemy of Christianity is not its enemies. It's those that are within that will self-destruct. And that's what Jesus mentions next. Take a look at this. Jesus predicts that Christian leaders are going to be fake. And they will deceive masses of people. Look here. Here's the scripture. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. I'm not sure that anything needs more vetting right now than Christian ministers, of which I am one. Are they telling the truth? Or have they given away and given in to popular Christianity? Like one of the guys said, popular Christianity is unbiblical. And unbiblical Christianity is or biblical Christianity is unpopular. Let me say that again so I don't mix you up. Popular Christianity is unbiblical. Biblical Christianity is unpopular. So we've caved to the world. It started several decades ago. It started in the music realm. Well, let's make our music sound like the world's music, because then we call it crossover, and people will like the sound and they'll cross over to Christian because they like the sound of the Christian music, because it sounds just like what they do in the world. And did they cross over? Yes, they did. The problem was, it wasn't that the world crossed over to the Christian music, it's that the Christians then crossed over to the world. And a this compromise started there, has continued ever since until Christianity. And I almost hate to say some of these things or even admit them, have become entertainments. I passed church this week. The sign said, come in for fun, fellowship, and food. Really? Let's find out what the market is looking for, so the church leaders say. And that's what we'll give them, and that way they'll come, and that way we'll collect their money, and that way we'll get them in. False Christian leaders will seek to deceive. Take a look at it one more time. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Another translation says, in the confusion, lying preachers will come forward and deceive a lot of people. You can tell. Because remember that Christians are supposed to be the salt of the earth, right? The lights of the world. And Jesus said, if the salt loses its savor, it's henceforth good for nothing but to be cast down and trodden under the foot of men. It's no longer doing what it should do. It has lost its light. It has lost its influence as salt. And consequently, these false teachers. Let's look at another scripture that says the same thing, because Jesus' ideas are repeated and reinforced. Such are false apostles. They're fake. They are deceitful workers. And look at this. And they transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. It's Halloween time for them. And they'll put on a new front, covers up what they really are like. False prophets and deceitful. Don't forget the deceitful thing, because you are the object of their deceit. And then scripture says it's no marvel, because Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He didn't come in a red suit and horns and a pitchfork in his hand. He's not that dumb. He doesn't fit the caricatures that we have of him. He transforms himself into looking like a good guy. That's how you trick people. That's how you deceive people. And therefore, look at this now. It's no great thing that his ministers, that says the ministers of Satan, also be transformed as ministers. Look at this. They're faking that they're ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be, they aren't going to get away with it, shall be according to their works. Big trouble, false Christian leaders will seek to destroy. And then we come, second to the last of these unsustainability features that Jesus said would happen near the end time. We come to this one that says that narcissism, that egocentric, I'm the boss, smarter than God, I'll decide for me and everybody, I am the king of the castle. Narcissism. Jesus predicts that narcissism will become the cultural norm. Now here's the scripture. Because iniquity shall abound. Now, we have a whole book on this, because iniquity appears and is mentioned over 366 times in the Bible. And most people don't even know what it is. Church people don't even know. Pastors don't even seem to know what it is. Everybody thinks the same thing as sin. It's not. It is what turned Lucifer, a good angel, into the devil. For of him it was said, thou wast perfect in all thy ways until iniquity was found in him, in you. Aha! Iniquity. You can go out and sin. Yet, he just turned narcissistic. How do we know it was narcissism? How do we know that iniquity and narcissism are the same thing? Because if you go to that passage that describes it, this is what he said. The person is right in the middle of the problem, the middle of the word sin, three times in the word iniquity. Not that that's puns even relevant. But he said, I will be exalted above the throne of God. I'll exalt my stars above the stars of God. Five times. And that's what narcissism is. I'm smarter than God. Ego, out of control. In fact, narcissism was one of the reasons, one of the four reasons Jesus went to the cross. Now, you've probably heard me teach this before, but it's so missing, I repeat it, because every time I get a chance. And in fact, this week I was at the National Religious Broadcasters Association, had opportunity on live television there to say the same message and tell about the book. And by the way, you should really, this is such an important subject. One of the four reasons Jesus went to the cross, we know this, number one, Isaiah. He was wounded for our transgressions. That's our sins. We got that straight. Yeah. Next one. And he was bruised for our iniquity. Second reason Jesus went to the cross was to deliver us from iniquity. Not just sin, but iniquity. So how do we know what iniquity is? Because follow with the rest of that scripture. Look it up for yourself. For we have turned everyone, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned, now watch this, we have turned everyone to, here's the phrase, his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. What is it? The turning of our own way. I'm going to be the boss. So comes the scripture again, because iniquity will abound. For many others, the overwhelming spread of evil shall happen. And then narcissism will become the ultimate destruction of love. You can't have them both. Because iniquity shall abound, love shall wax cold. This is really bad news. Now, let's take a look further. For many others, the overwhelming spread of iniquity, evil, will do them in. Nothing left of their love, but just ashes. And this is one of the signs. Now watch this. But in the midst of all of this, there's going to be a conquering, faithful group of people. Are you going to be one of them? That's the question. Am I? So here comes the scripture that Jesus said, he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. That's really good news. Look at this now. Staying with it. That's what God requires. Stay with it to the end. You won't be sorry, and you'll be saved. Now, we've gone through what Jesus said were going to be the conditions of the last days. And I hope you got it. I hope you are on alert. I hope you feel the warning. So that's the condition of the last days. But before we conclude, and by the way, the next time we get together, the second part of this, our subject is going to be how to face the future. How are you going to deal with all this stuff? But before we get to the solution, we've talked about the world and cultural conditions, the world conditions, the end times. But what is going to be the conditions of the people, of the culture in the end time? And so I want to conclude with that. And I hope you're taking good notes, because here we go. We talk about the godliness of the future as described by Scripture. So here it is. This is now also, in addition to what we've already learned, that in the last days, look at this, perilous times shall come. Now look at this, because the scripture is about to tell us what these perilous times are like in terms of the culture. The first group we talked about was the world condition. Now we're going to talk about the culture. Perilous times shall come, and it's because of what men shall become. So here we go. Number one, they shall become, I forgot I was putting another translation in there. You must realize that in the last days, the times will be full of danger, and men will become, here we go. Number one, lovers of their own selves. Narcissism, right where we left off. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. That means utterly self-centered narcissists. That's going to become the norm of the culture. And it is that that is going to produce peril. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, utterly self-centered, totally self-absorbed. Now, the scripture goes on and said they will be covetous. Covetous, want everything that everybody else has got for themselves. Oh my goodness. That's the goal of narcissism. Greedy for money, money hungry, more money, more grabbing, clutching, and grasping. Because that's what covetousness does, that's what narcissism does. That's what iniquity does. It's like, lovers of their own selves, so it's all about me, and it becomes covetousness. And then the description is boasters. Oh, what is that? They are full of big words. Self-promoters, everybody competing with everybody else and having to boast. Everybody sounding their own trumpet. Look at me, how wonderful I am. Social media, jammed, crammed with boasting. The speech of the proud, of the narcissist. And then they will become proud, which is the attitude of narcissism. My goodness. Haughty, arrogant, high and mighty. Then they become blasphemers. What is that? It's anti-God talk. It is the reviling of anything that's sacred, the mocking of truth, the mocking of righteousness, the mocking of that which is holy. Blasphemers. Then they'll be disobedient to parents. And in the broader sense, let's make sure we understand this. They will be contemptuous of their parents. In fact, without any regard for what their parents taught them, even though the parents... It's too bad children don't come with a manual. They come with a mother instead. But when they try their best, and fathers, the desertion level is amazing. But then somehow in the mix, they try to help the kids a bit, at least. But that gets disregarded, disobedient to parents. They will become unthankful. That means crude. It means utterly lacking in gratitude. It just could be, why? Because covetous can never be satisfied. You always want more. There's no such thing as enough. So if there's no such thing as enough, then you're not thankful for what you already got. And that's going to be the condition of the culture. And it's going to be unholy, according to the scriptures. It means lacking in purity, no disregard for that which is holy. My goodness. In fact, people become profane and wicked with no conscience bothering them anymore whatsoever. And then they're going to be without natural affection. Now look at this. This is the description of the culture. The other description we gave was the world conditions, but this is the culture. This is the people. And they will become without natural affection, which simply means perverted. They don't have, it's not normal. It's abnormal. It's perverted. Lacking in normal human affection. And they'll have affection for too many illicit, wrongful, unnatural desires. And they will justify it. They will become without natural affection. And the scripture says they'll become truth breakers. That means they'll break their word. When in fact the scriptures say that a good man is one that swears to his own hurt. He gives his word, and then he finds out that giving his word cost him more than he thought it was, but he doesn't change. He changes not. Oh, this is so good. Because truth breakers are untrustworthy. And that's why contracts get violated and broken, and they have to have remedies. And that dog-eat-dog, and that... And then false accusing. Oh man, how can you stand some of the stuff we get on social media? False accusations. Nothing gets vetted anymore. It's just slander one against the other. No scruples that control the speech. We just badmouth everybody, anything who disagrees with us, because that's what narcissism is like. And so they slander. Incontinent. Now, we normally have a medical definition of this, but it's broader than that. It means having no control. And the biological has to be incontinent and don't control your bowels. But this context is have no control of themselves whatsoever. They have become impulsively white, following every impulse of that comes their way. And then they will be fierce. Fierce. They're going to be fierce times. Treacherous. Savage. No care for one another. They will become despisers of those that are good. Can you imagine that? Imagine. Despisers of those that are good. Instead of honoring the right people, the truth tellers, they will despise. They will become absolutely ruthless, tearing down, taking down anybody that tells the truth. Bloated windbags, one translation says. And then it says they'll be traitors. A traitor is someone who's in favor of something in which God is against, as a traitor to God. And traitorship is just abounding everywhere. Betrayers. Husbands who betray wives. Wives that betray husbands. Treason. Betray their kids to children. This is an immense mess. And this is the godless condition of the culture that is going to produce the perilous times, which are in the last times. There'll be Judas Iscariots everywhere. They will be heady. That means self-willed and conceited. They'll be high-minded. That means they'll be intoxicated with themselves. They are mentally damaged and affected. Their ego is out of control. They'll be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They will be addicted to lust and allergic to God. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They have a form of godliness. Now watch this. They have a form of godliness, but it has no power over them. Stay away from that fake Christian stuff. It has a form of godliness. A translation says they will maintain a facade of religion, but their conduct will deny its validity. It's like, they'll make a show of religion, but behind the scenes, they're animals. Whew. Now, these people are the sort that creep in houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins and led away with divers lust. So, what does this mean? It means... from their number of these in the last days, there's these creatures who worm their way into people's houses, right? They find easy prey in silly women. Women have an exaggerated sense of sin and morbid cravings. They're out of control themselves. Now they become the victims. People who smooth talk themselves in the homes of unstable and needy women and take advantage of them. Then it says the river learning, never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Always learning, never able to grasp the truth. Why? Evil doesn't want the truth. Narcissism doesn't want the truth because it would interfere with their selfish agenda. And then they will resist the truth. We've already mentioned that, haven't we? These men are enemies of the truth. These men are like frauds. They reject from the faith. That truth doesn't matter. One scripture says truth has fallen in the streets. They will become corrupt thinkers, men of corrupt minds, twisted in their thinking. Their minds are distorted. Reprobate concerning the faith. That means denying truth itself. Whoa. They are traitors to the faith. And these, my friends, and there's only one more that needs to be known. Because of all these things that the scriptures list here of the condition of an end time culture, you can't help identify. That's what's going on. That's what's pitted nation against nation, ethnos against ethnos, company against company. Everybody is competing and nobody's cooperating. Love is lost. Narcissism has taken over. But it's going to be very visible. This know also, perilous times shall come and men shall be, and watch this, it ends with this, their folly shall be manifest unto all men. Their folly will become obvious to everybody. This is the unsustainability. This is the godlessness, of the future. Nothing will come of these latest imposters. Everyone will be able to see through them. I want to close, and I'll bet you're ready for that because I've really given you a lot today. But it's incumbent upon me to help, if I can, us discover the cause of this godlessness. What's behind this condition? So take a look at this. The cause of all future shock. Watch here now. Why do the heathen, that's the people who are not genuine Christians, anybody outside of genuine Christian is a heathen. And why do these people imagine, why are they so seemingly brain dead? Why is this rage? Why is this clamoring going on? And here's the answer. Because the kings of the earth have set themselves, the kings, the presidents, the prime ministers, the governors, the kings of the earth and the rulers, all levels. Look at this. They take counsel together and they have decided, we don't want the Lord telling us how to run our country, how to run our state. They're not against the Lord, but they're against his anointed, which is the Lord Jesus himself, right? And this is what they say. Let's break their bands asunder. Let's cast away their cords from us. We're not going to take any instructions from them. None. And that, my friends, is how you end up with godliness that will cause all the future shock. Many shall follow. In fact, I was worried about the time. I shouldn't be, I suppose, when you've gone this long already, but let's close with these two scriptures. There were false prophets among the people. There'll be false teachers among you. They will bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord. We don't want the Lord. And they will bring upon themselves Look at that. Self-destruction, swift destruction. They'll bring it on themselves. Now watch here. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. Now watch this. By whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. They are going to speak against the truth. And through covetousness, with fake words, they will make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth, and their damnation slumbers not. A little girl, Angela Peters, I tell her story in the book, Why You're Born, chapter 3. She was born very handicapped, and people rejected her and her wheelchair. And so she lived a lot of alone time, but she knew the Lord. She became a writer. I hope you'll look up her writing, Angela Peters. This is one of the things she said. Every day, we're living in a nightmare. This world took Jesus out of our society. We took out what was right by bringing in what is wrong. I don't think anybody could have said it more prophetically, more clearly, more definitively than little Angela Peters. And that's why we need to have the faith to face the future. When anti-God cultures self-destruct. So the next time we're together, we're going to talk about how do we do that now. We know what the world conditions are going to be like. We know what the conditions of the culture is like. How are we going to face the future? That's what we're going to do the next time we get together, and I'm always looking forward to it, and I'm glad you're participating because you're so important.
When you know why you were born, you'll have a new appreciation for your true self. You will know your true purpose in life, and you'll know why you matter. Then you'll be equipped to choose a life path full of meaning and joy. Uncover the truth about you. Author David L. Johnston's new book, Why You Were Born, will give you a new appreciation for your true self. Mark Twain said, "There are two important days in your life. The day you were born and the day you find out why." And David L. Johnston's new book, Why You Were Born, will launch you on your true path. Take action now and visit nothingbutthetruth.org/born. Live a fulfilling life now without pressures to conform to the ideas and expectations of others. Live the fulfilling life you were created to live and enjoy the freedom, comfort, and confidence that can bring. Become the real you and discover your ENA, your embedded natural abilities. Break free from the prison of your past and experience the joy, satisfaction, and fulfillment you were created for. Act now. Visit nothingbutthetruth.org/born and order your copy of this amazing new book. Visit nothingbutthetruth.org/born. Author David L. Johnston's new book, Why You Were Born, will fill you with new expectation for your best life, the life you were created to live.